Thank you, Father, for the entrance of your word always brings light. And as we share that word today, let that light shine in our hearts and give us understanding. And also let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. Let the people be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. A sure foundation. I'm going to start here in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. And we're going to talk about what it means to have a sure foundation and a steadfast anchor, especially in times like this. I'm going to, approach these from a couple of perspectives. You know, first of all, in general, the perspective of Christ, hallelujah, being that chief cornerstone. And we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about some areas, how we can bring this directly into our lives, what we are going through, what will come in the days ahead, and so on and so forth. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Well, make haste means you won't be rattled. you won't be rattled at all. Praise God. See how the Lord describes it here. First of all, the first thing we see here is the Lord is the one that is speaking. Because he said, thus saith the Lord God. And he is the one that laid that foundation in Zion. Well, there's physical Zion and there's also spiritual Zion. It's called a sure foundation. It's called a tried stone. It's also called a precious cornerstone. Why is it a tried stone? Well, it has been proven to stand the test. That's why it's called a tried stone. Why is it precious? Well, because the Lord put upon him, the blessing of carrying, it was almost like a load, but it turned out to be a blessing. Because had he not died, he would have abided alone. But when he did, he brought forth a tremendous harvesting of souls in the sons of God to the kingdom. So he's called the precious cornerstone. And he's a sure foundation. If we believe on him, you are assured that your life will not be out of kilter. It will not be in chaos, going up and down and so forth. That's a sure and a steadfast cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2. We fast forward here. We see Apostle Paul describing this concept of Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone and the foundation upon which we are built. So let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Pick up from verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are part now of this spiritual Zion. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we see this building. It has a foundation. The cornerstone that holds everything together is Christ. And every building is built on some has to be built on some foundation. Now, it may be a sure foundation, it may be a steadfast anchor, or it could be a shaky foundation. or a foundation that's not going to hold. You know, but Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. Now, if you remove that chief cornerstone, which holds everything together, it's all going to crumble. But, you know, if you put that thing in there steadfastly and you dig a good foundation, a solid foundation, you know, when the house is built, we're going to read more about that in a bit. We're going to see whether the house will hold or whether it will collapse. Before we get there, let's also read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to about 15. Just a reminder of some of the things that we have read, not to forget these basic concepts. Although basic, they are powerful concepts. You know, Paul declares here in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And see, there are two kinds of materials that you can build on top of that foundation. There are these, you know, rare metals like gold, silver, precious stones. And then there are these combustible metals like, materials like wood, hay, and stubble. Well, you see, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. Glory to God. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work to see of what sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, although he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so on and so forth. Well, he's going to also go on and tell us that that building he's talking about, that we are actually that building. He said, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and so on and so forth. You know, one time Jesus was talking to his disciples, and when he did that opinion poll and asked everybody, what do people say I am? And they said one thing or another. And what about you? What do you say I am? Or who do you say I am? And Peter gave that declaration that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned around and said, wow. Now, you know, that's what that revelation did not come from you learning it from man. He came from my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, that rock is the revelation of who Christ is. Some people, this is a myth. So let me dismiss this myth right now. You know, some, you know, religions, or some religious teachings teach that the rock is Peter. That Peter could by no means have been that rock. It's a paradox that Jesus was putting out. Even though he called him a stone, the rock that he was referring to is the revelation of who he is. Upon this revelation, will I build my church. Revelation of who Christ is. That's the chief cornerstone. If we don't have that revelation, the whole thing will crumble down. Now, Peter, at best, you know, was a shaky. If you want to build your foundation on Peter, that would be shaky. You know, I know the Catholic systems and some other things, you know, think about Peter as being the rock. He could not have been because he was shaky at best. But Jesus Christ, the revelation of whom he is that rock. Now, there are many paradoxes that Jesus used during his teachings. Let me just throw this in before we get back to the rest of this lesson. When Jesus would say certain things, Paradoxically, people would get thrown off, but he just leave it like that. When Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock. Well, one of them is they thought the rock was somebody that he was talking about. He was talking about Revelation. The other thing also is that since he was talking about building his church, and everybody said, well, I mean, he grew up in the house of a carpenter anyway, you know. So when he's talking about building, people are thinking about him building some kind of building, a physical building, because he said, I will build my church. And so, you know, over the years, people focus on building, you know, some kind of a physical building with brick and mortar and windows and wood and furniture and so forth. And we call that the church. Well, that's a myth that we need to get rid of completely out of our minds. The building that you go into, which sometimes we call the house of the Lord, but Jesus called it the same thing. That building that we go into, the fellowship there, is a building. Just a building. It's not the church. It's just a building. And sometimes you say, oh, you know, we just refer to it loosely as church, but it's not the church. It's a building. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he was not referring to some physical building, you know, which today, especially in this Laodicean spirit that we have today, the bigger the building, you know, the more that we think that we have of God. I am rich and increased with goods. I built my buildings. I sit pretty as a queen, you know, and all these things. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about a different kind of building. The church is a building, but it's not building that we think. Because here Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that makes it a building, because he said, I will build my church. So it is definitely a building, but it's not the kind of building that we are thinking about. Glory to God. You know, so you can read that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And we've also read here where Paul was talking about the building, you know. So he said that we are the building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So indeed, the church is a building. But don't think of the church as a building that's made of brick and all that. It is a different kind of building, though. But that building has a spiritual foundation. That foundation consists of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone that gives us that makes it a sure foundation and it's a steadfast anchor. Now, if we place our faith on that sure foundation, then it is well and shall be well in the time when it will be tested. But it will most certainly be tested. You know, Jesus told a story in Matthew chapter 7 from verses 24 to about 27. He said, look, here is the way I am going to liken a person that hears my words and doeth them and the one that hears them and doeth them not. And he told us this famous story, which all of us know, even from Sunday school. We know these stories. We sing about them. But they are very foundational to the truths of the gospel. Very powerful revelation that Jesus gives here. Whosoever therefore shall hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now that means he had a sure foundation and he had a steadfast anchor. And when the rains descended, and the floods came and the winds blew upon it, the house did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Remember, These, both of these houses, they both had foundations. You cannot build a house without a foundation. It just determines, I mean, it just depends on what kind of foundation it is. And then what kind of structure are you building on it? Now, in this case of the person that built on the sand and did not have a sure foundation and a steadfast anchor and a, you know, one that will withstand anything. When the rains fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, the house fell down. And great was the fall of it. Now, both houses will be in the rain. You know, one house is not protected or sheltered from the rain, you know, and only the other one is exposed. They are both exposed to the rain. They are both exposed to the storm, you know, but whether they withstand it or not depends on the kind of structure that the house has. Hallelujah. And those of you that listened when we taught the wisdom series, and I'm going to come back in some future time and remind us from time to time on that because it's so powerful stuff. We talk about cracks in the building, you know, and the cracks, you know, that you see when the pillars of the building, the support of the building, they're not sitting just right, will create cracks in the building. Now, and today we're talking about the foundation in the first place. Now, if you are going to build a one-story building versus if you are going to build a 10-story or higher building, what kind of foundation will it be? I mean, we've heard recently of things falling down, buildings falling down, and so on. Well, they may be there for a while, maybe even a long while, but one of these days, if the thing was not structurally sound, and one of these days, it's going to collapse. You know, we've seen buildings in recent times that are just collapsing because they did not have a strong foundation. And maybe the structure was not set just right. You know, there are some places in, you know, advanced countries where they have laws, code, and everything, and inspections and things like that that must be done right when you're putting a building together. No matter the size of the building, there's codes for everything. And the building, the inspectors would not, the city inspectors would not approve the building, the structural design, and so forth, if it is not according to spec. And if they figure out this thing will not survive, because you're going to put the lives of people in jeopardy. You put people in a building that was not structurally sound. One day it'll collapse. Well, that's all in the natural, you know. Also, in the spiritual, it's the same thing. If we start this spiritual journey on the wrong foundation, it's liable or likely to collapse. And many people, unfortunately, because of the religious systems that we have, started their religious, I mean, this journey, spiritual journey, on a faulty religious foundation based on man's traditions and religious practices, but not according to the spiritual truths of the Word of God. And Jesus said, look, in vain do you worship me, teaching for commandments the traditions of men. You know, and your traditions of men. There are many people that don't know the real truth of the Word of God. Just settle for whatever it is that they are hearing from folks. And the religious leaders just teaching them anything. And people just taking these things hook, line, and sinker. But Jesus warned and said, be careful now, because the blind leading the blind, both of them will fall into the ditch. Now, blind leaders, many of them, you know, are like a dime a dozen these days for blind leaders that are leading people who have itching ears themselves, and they're not telling the truth. You know, but if you are being led blindly by a blind leader, both will fall into the ditch. That's Jesus' warning. However, if the leader is blind, but you open your eyes wide open, you know, both of them have to be blind in order to fall into the ditch. So just because the leader is blind, you don't have to be blind along with them and fall into the ditch. Open your eyes wide. You know, look into the perfect law of liberty yourself. But I guarantee you, these blind leaders, they will have the greater judgment because they are putting a stumbling block in front of the people by not teaching the truth. But it is our responsibility, leader or not, you know, to, you know, make sure that our soul is anchored on a sure foundation and we have a steadfast anchor. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, we read in verses 17 to 20 about this anchor of the soul. Whether it is steadfast or not. So let's read it here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, you know, was talking about, you know, the oath and confirmation that God made to Abraham and all that. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. That means you can't obliterate it. You know, he confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible to lie, wherein he said, surely blessing, I will bless you, that's one. And two, multiplying, I will multiply you, that's two. In those things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we saw that he kept his word with Abraham. We also might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, wherein the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now that's a mouthful, you know, but, you know, when people are not laid, I mean, have not laid their foundation solidly, they're not going to be able to survive the slight of men, the onslaught of doctrines of devils, and all kinds of things that are going on. Now, going back to Isaiah 28, which is where we started, oh, that lay in Zion a sure foundation and stuff. But earlier in the verse, I want to bring out the importance of spiritual maturity. Now, spiritual maturity is very important in the race that we are in today. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? That's the Lord. Who will he teach? Whom will the Lord teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Well, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You know, babies, breastfeed and drink milk and so forth. But this kind of question here that God is asking, he said, look, who's going to obtain knowledge? And who's going to understand his doctrine? Well, he said, it's not going to be babies. You know, because babies cannot handle strong meat. They can only do milk. And we covered that when we did the book of Hebrews. So for when you need to be teachers, you are still babies. And when you should have been taking strong meat, you are still drinking only milk. And that's sadly, ladies and gentlemen, there are just too many people, you know, call themselves believers, but unfortunately, all they can take is milk. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For when the time you ought to have been teachers, you have need that one should teach you again the things that be the principles of the oracle, the first principles, the basic thing, 101, you know, understanding the concept of the kingdom, 101, understanding the things of God, 101. I mean, when you should have been in level 4, taking 400 level and 500 level classes, you are still taking lessons 101 and say, well, then you have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness because he's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." And why did these people remain babies? You know, Paul wrote and said, look, even until this day, that veil is still on their faces when they read the books of Moses. Because from the beginning, they chose not to want any part of God. Exodus, and I always talk about this because it's so important. You know, when God, you know, gave an invitation to them in Exodus chapter 19. And he told them, he invited them to come on in and be a kingdom of priests. But they couldn't do it. You know, Exodus 19 and verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed." Now remember, the first thing he says here is, it's all tied down to his voice. "If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant." Those two things are, you know, the important premises upon which the invitation was given. And he said, well, "then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me." You know, it's like, you know, he picked the Christ to be that precious cornerstone. He'll pick you also to be a precious treasure above all people. All the earth is mine, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation," and so on. And when Moses told them this thing, they said, you know, they spoke to Moses and they said in verse 8, "and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Now, remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, they actually thought they could do it initially. They said, well, everything that the Lord said, we will do. And they said, okay, cool. And then you fast forward to the next chapter. You know, when they began to see the thunderings and the lightnings and all of those things, so forth, the Bible said that the people removed are far off, and they said to Moses, you know, this is more than we bargained for. They removed are far off. You know, read it in Exodus 20, verse 21. People stood afar off, and they said, no, we can't do this. We don't want to hear God. We don't want you to do this. We can't hear from God. You go hear from God and come and tell it to us. Let me read it to you in Exodus 20 and verse 18. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the..." This is how God, you know, scared them away. Because they had a shaky mind and a shaky foundation. All they saw was just thunderings and lightnings. They hadn't even heard the voice of God. You know, the voice was not in the thunderings. Neither was the voice in the lightning. But the voice would come, you know, if you can endure the thunderings. And if you can endure the lightnings, then you might get to hear the still small voice. We saw that in the case of Elijah. You know, but the thunderings and lightnings will, you know, run off some people. Or some people will latch onto that and that's all they'll get. You know, but these people, in their own case, when they saw all of these phenomena, the mountain smoking and everything going on. They said, we, you know, they removed. They got away from the presence of God and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But we don't want the voice of God because we will die. Can you imagine? You know, the Lord told them, obey my voice. They said, we don't want to hear that voice. We want to hear the voice of man. And do you know that a lot can be lost in the translation or the transmission? By the time God tells you to Moses and Moses tells you to the people and some of the people tell it to other people, you know, you're no longer hearing it directly from God. And they lost their right to hear directly from God. Moses became a prophet. You know, God had no intention of anybody being a prophet to anybody. You know, he was going to deal with them directly. But since they chose not to hear from God, now Moses all of a sudden becomes a prophet to them. Until this day, when Moses is read, the veil still remains in their eyes. When they still read the Torah or any other thing today, they still can't get it because the veil is on their face and eyes. But when it shall turn to the Lord, when they turn it over here, coming with under the Spirit of the Lord in the New Testament and the New Covenant, we're doing away with that veil. We saw that veil was rent when Christ died in Matthew 27. We're doing away with all of that. We're coming directly with God. Now that's the spiritual side. In the material and physical side, it's the same thing as well. If you have not learned and to understand God, and you have not, you know, and your house is not built on the rock, it may not stand the test. There's a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13 when he was talking about the parables of the kingdom. And in that parable, he talked about a sower that went out to sow. And as he sowed, you know, seeds fell everywhere. You know, so many people know this story, but I want to just read a few verses there. There are many grounds on which the sowing fell. You know, some sowing, because Jesus, the disciples came to ask him to explain it, and he explained it to them. And he said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, let me just read for the context, but verse 20 is where I'm going. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, right? Then the wicked one cometh and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now this is the seed which fell by the wayside. Now that was no good either. They had no understanding, so you know, even when they heard it, the devil will come and catch it out of their minds because they had no understanding. But how are you going to get understanding? Isn't it the word that brings understanding? Doesn't the scripture say the entrance of your word brings understanding, which I quote every day here? How are you going to get understanding? Well, Jesus said that hearing they may hear and still not understand. You know, make the heart of these people gross. Make their hearing dull. Make their eyes to be blind, that they will see and not perceive. They will hear and not understand. Yes, it is the word of God that will give understanding. But a person that doesn't have understanding will not get it. So it's like a cat chasing his tail, what we call catch 22 here in the United States. You know, you need understanding to hear the word of God and to retain it in your heart. And it is the very word of God that's going to give you understanding. What does that all mean? Well, it means have an open heart when you hear the word of God. Say, Lord, you know, I don't understand it. Teach it to me. And then he will teach it to you. And then the more you understand, the more he will give you. Because to him that hath shall more be given. And him that hath not, if you have no understanding, even the little understanding you have, be taken away because you didn't have any understanding. So Jesus goes on to tell them of this parable. And then the next verse, he tells them of the one, you know, that fell in stony places. He said, but the one that's the seed that fell into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and immediately received the reward with joy. But because he has no root, see, in himself, or no foundation, or his anchor is shaky and not steadfast, well, he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended and he falls away. Well, it's not just persecution. That's one thing that Jesus was talking about there. But it's also trials of, you know, things that will happen to us. When things happen, kind of like the thing that happened to Job, all kinds of hell broke loose upon him. One day, calamity upon calamity, calamity upon calamity. I mean, as soon as one bad news was being reported, he hadn't even finished processing that. Another bad news is reported, on and on and on until he lost all his children. You know, I mean, first it was belongings, which, well, you know, you can get that bad. But then now it is his children. To the point where even his wife said, look, enough of this already. Why are you still maintaining the integrity of your heart? Why don't you curse God and die? You know, so sometimes people will go through things, you know, and my goodness, they won't even, the thing will turn their minds upside down because they don't have a strong foundation. And they may even be able to curse the day in which they were born. You know, I mean, people have gone through some tragic losses. When they were mourning and they heard the news, they cursed the day that they were born, believers. I mean, a parent, I heard that their child died, cursed the day that they were born, cursed even their walk with God, because they loved that child. And one day when I was dealing with that, I said, look, I pray that none of us will have to find out whether our anchor will hold in such a situation. I don't want to have to find out, because to find out means, well, you have to lose a loved one, and then we'll see what you will do with it. I don't want to have to find out. May the Lord not put you in a situation where you want to find out such a case, because that is something. You stand on the outside and you are looking. You know what you are going to do. God forbid it should not happen to you. But it happened to some people. And they cursed everything up and down. They wanted to give it up. They wanted to even kill themselves. You know. But thank God it didn't last forever. It was just some momentary thing. You know, by encouragement and different things, they came back to their senses. But you know, will your anchor hold? You know, when the trials of life come, I mean, those are tragic. I don't even pray that kind of thing for even my enemies. But, you know, these are things that happen. I mean, sudden, you know, yesterday we dealt with, you know, evil report and different things and sickness and disease and you name it. There are all kinds of things that can come up against us from time to time. Will your anchor hold? That's the question. Do you have a solid foundation? The book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I mean, his mind is anchored. It's like an anchor on his soul. It's a fast and steadfast anchor. Pierces the veil. He's not going anywhere because he's anchored upon the rock. These things may blow up against him, but he's anchored on the rock. Listen to how Paul puts it. For those who are anchored upon the rock, you know, he puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. Perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, anything can blow up and down, toss the thing up and down. But you know, the one that's anchored on the Lord, they will stand the test. You know, moreover, he says also in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39, talks about all the various things that can come up against you from time to time. But do you have this testimony that you are anchored upon a sure foundation? The testimony is, who or what shall separate us from the love of God? That love and that anchor of Christ, the love of Christ, is that what we are built upon? Tribulation or distress? Persecution or famine? Nakedness or peril or the sword? Or calamities or tragedies or bad news or sickness or disease? I mean, all these things that can come up from time to time against us. Even we are killed all day long, it appears. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. But he said, nay, hallelujah. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why? Because anchored on a sure foundation, a steadfast anchor. For I am persuaded, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, even things that have not yet happened, the future is not going to shake me, he said. Glory to God. Whether I'm up, height, or depth, or down, any other creature, or even anything that is not named, can separate us from the love of God. That's a solid anchor, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, that's how he put it out there. And he said again, thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. In all our tribulations, in everything that we go through, blown up and down this way and that way, but God always causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. And we are triumphing because we are based on the solid rock. You know, we see a story in Mark chapter 4. You know, the disciples in their early days, they had not fully understood Christ and all the things that Christ was trying to teach them. And the storms that came against them, it was a physical depiction of the things that, you know, we're talking about today. They were in a literal storm. And they panicked. And their anchor did not hold. You know, because they didn't understand and had not built a solid foundation in prayer and a complete dependency upon the Lord. They were trusting only in the absence of trouble. See, if we trust only in the absence of trouble, then we don't know whether our anchor has been put to the test. But he called it a tried stone. You know, when there is no storm, the boat is sailing along smoothly. Everything is all hunky-dory, as we say. You know, everything is all good. But when those storms of life come, will your anchor hold? Well, that, you know, theirs didn't, because they panicked, you know, but they didn't know that that anchor was steadfast. He's in the boat. You cannot sink. But they panicked because they didn't understand it. They panicked. You know, they were, yet the Bible says that you will not make haste. They made haste. And they rushed to the Lord and said, Master, wake up. Don't you care that we perish? And Jesus woke up and said, what's happening? And he said, well, you know, and he just said, look, why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? Why is your anchor soon shaking? Why are you rattled? Jesus had expected them to deal with the situation. Well, situations will arise in life. What will be your response? Will you make haste? Will you be rattled? Will you run off and accuse God of going to sleep on you and all that? or will you be a rugged man, a rugged woman of faith, a faith juggernaut? You can handle a situation through Christ that strengthens you. Well, that's all. His anchor is based on a sure foundation. A sure foundation and a steadfast anchor. One of the soul anchors your soul steadfastly and pierce beyond the veil. You're not going to, shut out of anything. You're going all the way. Are you all in? Will your anchor hold in the time of trouble? Psalm 92 verse 13 says, they that be planted in the house of the Lord. Well, I want to, read that verse in a different way. But let me read it first the way it says it here. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It shall still bring forth fruit in old age. It shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. Now let me pick on that rock and read this verse a different way. Those that be built upon a sure foundation with a steadfast anchor upon the Lord, they shall still be standing even in the midst of all these storms and tempests of life. Well, that's the same thing. I'm just reading it a different way. It's like reading between the lines, engaging the word of God in the spirit and God expanding it to you. That's what I'm talking about today. Will your anchor hold? Glory to God. Will you flourish like the palm tree? Will you grow like a cedar in Lebanon, despite all the things that might rise up against you? Will you say of the Lord, can you say of the Lord, the Lord is my stay, he is my rock, and he is my shield. Glory to God, and he is my hiding place. He is my fortress. Hallelujah. That's what he said. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress. He is my God, in him will I trust. Psalm 91 and verse 2. Will he be your refuge? He's always our refuge, but do we recognize that he is our refuge? Or will we make haste and run helter-skelter? May the Lord strengthen every one of us to build our faith. There's a song that says, build your hope and faith on things eternal. Steadfast upon the Lord. An anchor that pierces beneath and behind and into and beyond the veil. And will not be swayed one way or another. Yet, yes, indeed these things will happen. Testings, trials, and what have you will come. But will your anchor hold? Will you be able to say, because I am built upon the solid rock, none of these things move me? Hallelujah. Paul said that. The psalmist said that. They say, well, none of these things move me. I don't even care if all hell breaks loose, but these things don't move me because I am anchored upon the sure foundation. And Jesus himself, because he was tempted in all points, yet without sin, he's able to succor and hold those who trust in him through whatever we may be passing through. When I was a young man, my dad used to give me this illustration. He would clasp his arms together, one over, cross your arms over the other. I want everybody to try it. We just grab his left elbow with his right hand and grab his right elbow with his left hand, cross his arms like that, hold them together like that, in a grip like that. And then he would show and illustrate this, and that thing stayed with me for a long time. And he would say, look, in the time of peace, when everything is good, this is you holding on to the Lord, and this is the Lord holding on to you. You got him, which we're holding on to him on one hand, and he's got you. And then he would say, when the trials of life hit you, your own arm will fall away, but he still got you. Woo-hoo. And I say, my goodness, I didn't understand that too much when I was, a little boy. But he gave us that illustration a few times. And then later as I grew, I actually tried it. You try it yourself, cross your arms like that, grasp one, elbow with one arm, hand and the other. And then just swing one arm away, but let the other one hold it still there. You say, well, that arm that falls off is you. Because, trials and testings will blow you almost away. But he said, God got you. His arm will never fall off. He's got you. Praise God. Well, I've learned to depend on the Lord and not that my hand should fall away. I'm learning through many things over the years. That, my uncle, I know he's got me, but I'm holding on to him too. I'm not letting my arm fall off. When I grew up more, maybe when I was a baby, but in the faith, but now, God expects more things from me. I'm going to hold on in that grasp. I'm not going to let my hand fall off and only God's holding me. I'm holding on to him as well. Glory to God. A steadfast anchor. That's a sure foundation. May the Lord bless everyone that's listening in here this morning. Grant you the grace. Hold on now to the Lord, no matter what is going on. Hold on to the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me read this psalm to you, and I'm going to pray. Psalm 121. I'm going to just read that over everyone of us that's in this room. And then I am going to pray. And this is it's an incredible psalm. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be. That means he got you solidly anchored in. He's got you. And, you make sure too that your arm doesn't fall off because he's got you. Hallelujah. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, put your name there, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And you can personalize that psalm. Turn it around everywhere. It says, the Lord shall do something to thee. Put me in there. And say, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth me shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil, shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this short lesson of admonition to hold on to the Lord and be sure that our faith and our lives are built upon the solid and sure foundation and a steadfast anchor, that will one that will withstand tests, sins, and trials. And ladies and gentlemen, there are more that is coming. Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 5 says, if you have run against footmen and you are weary, how are you going to contend against horses? If in the land of peace, even when things seem good, you already faint, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose in the overswelling and overrunning of Jordan? But there are certain times when Jordan overswells its banks. And when things happen that are beyond your natural capacity, what are you going to do if you are not trained even in the little things? So these things that come against us from time to time, they are to train us and to get us ready. Not only that we will be able to contend against footmen, we will win. We will run against horses and we will win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll be a winner all the time because you are anchored upon a sure foundation. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, strengthen you and uphold you with his right hand. Even as it is written, yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with my right hand, the right hand of my righteousness, my right hand of righteousness. Isaiah 41 and 10. Blessings and grace and peace to everyone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.